13 to 14. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you tonight for having us here together. Lord, I thank you for allowing me to be here. You are a great God. I ask you, Lord, that it's not me tonight to speak, but you. You speak to people's heart. Lord, just may you glorify. May you be honored tonight. Thank you. It is a privilege to serve you. I love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 13, 14, in verse 13 it says, Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Last 2-3 weeks, there was this Paris Olympic. I'm sure that most of you have been following up. And so just one thing that I was reminded, like life is just like a marathon. Marathon, we Ethiopians, we just love marathons very big. In fact, Ethiopia always win, most of the time win, I should say, in the marathon. In fact, the first Ethiopian who won, his name is Abebe Bikila. He ran in 1960 in the Rome Olympics, and he ran barefoot, and he won. And then 1964, again in Tokyo Olympic, he ran, and he won. So he's the only one so far during that time that won 2 times in a row from Africa. And so marathon is like a big thing. Even this year in Paris Olympic, the Ethiopian is the one who won. So when I think of about life is just a marathon. When you see a marathon and the course, when you see, it is rough. I mean, it is very far away. It's very tiresome. It is like 26.2 miles that, you know, these runners run in a short time, you know, to finish that. So it's not easy. It's not easy. So in life, I mean, our life, we say, is just like marathon. It's not a short thing, but it is a rough. And Paul is trying to tell us, he said, brethren, he says, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. So, when we see life today, I mean, what's going on with the war in Ukraine and all of that in the world, what's going on? It is not easy. I mean, I come from Zambia. Right now in Zambia, the drought is bad. I mean, we have droughts. People are starving. I mean, so the government is trying all they can do. When this drought comes, there's no rain, which means we don't have power. Power, we have like from 16 to 18 hours a day, we don't have power. Sometimes the whole day or 2 days, we won't have power. And when that happens, then the water also we don't have. And so water is being rationed only like for 8 hours a day or 6 hours a day. Cattle don't have anything to drink. Small businesses, they cannot do because without electricity, they cannot weld, or even the barbershop, the small thing that they feed a lot of people, they cannot do. And it is just rough, and it's becoming difficult. And the Zambian government already declared emergency on that. And so life becomes sometimes is rough, and then you say, what's going on? I think Paul is trying to tell us here, yes, this is what it is, but let me tell you this. In marathon or in the race, yes, the course could be hard. But I think he said, he's advising us, when you do, you are on that course, number one, don't be distracted. He said, don't be distracted. Don't look back what is going on, but just press towards to the, you know, press forward. Just see what's going on, you know, what God has a plan in your life. So Paul is encouraging us, don't be distracted by the past things, by the past mistakes, or by the past achievement that you have. Don't be distracted. You know, Paul is a great example when he talks about that, because in his life, there are so many things that he can look back. You know, when we say don't look back, doesn't mean don't have memories. That's not what it is he's saying. What he's saying is, not these mistakes or achievements or whatever that they are should stop you from pressing ahead. Paul, his past, you know, he has a lot of regret, definitely, because he has been persecuting Christians and killing and all of that. But that did not stop him what he was doing. He was pressing forward. It did not stop him. He has been doing so much also that also did not make him like comfortable and stay where he is. Okay, he said, he did not say that I am doing much for God so that, you know, that's done. Let others do. He did not do that either. But he continued to do and minister in all what he does. So his achievement did not distract him. Sometimes those are the things that distract us. But he pursued. He just pressed on. That's what he did. He did not stop. You know, when we look back, I mean, if we just live in our past, it's always a disaster. Like in Ethiopia, there is a lot of war, a lot of infighting. But why? Because of the last history that there was. Whatever this tribe has done to this tribe, because of that history, people are still killing each other today. No peace. So even in the ministry, that's what happened. When you have that grudge in your heart, you will not press. I mean, we had one deaf in our church. His name is Bernard. Bernard, he loved the Lord, but not before. I mean, he became deaf, and he was very angry over deaf his family. And because, I mean, his uncle, he oppressed him, and he did not let him to be free. So he just kept him as a slave at home. So he was very angry because of his deafness. And I kept telling him about the Lord when I was teaching him in the secondary school. He would not hear me. And then on top of that, and one day that he was walking on the rail, on the rail, and he did not hear it, a train hit him and cut his leg. And Bernard was a very angry man. He did not want to hear anything about God. Very angry. He was just always talking about the past. It's because of my uncle. I mean, it took him 3-4 years until he leave those grudge and anger. And when God changed him and brought some peace in his heart. When he left that one. All that his bad things that he was thinking, when he left that and when he accepted Jesus, he was a different Bernard. Bernard became a wonderful man. I mean, he comes about 6 hours walking with that barefoot, I mean, with that cut leg. He has a fake leg that he put in, and he comes. And sometimes he tells our people, he challenged them. He takes that one out, and he showed that the reddish thing. And he said, I mean, you are complaining. It's too far. He said, I walk for 6 hours. If I had leg, I would walk even 10 hours for my Lord. And then what I do, I say, okay, Bernard, I know you come, so I said, okay, but going back, I want you to use money, and I give him money, exact amount, for a taxi for him to go, like a minibus. That's a local bus, not taxi, expensive one, but just a minibus. When I give him, he take that money and he go. He walk halfway and then he use the money for the other half. And then he come and tithe that half in church. I didn't know that he was doing that. And it was not that long that just the Lord blessed him. And then his uncle gave him a job and he started getting more money. And then he also started looking from the church, some of like, you know, people who are with disability. He goes there and he said, you come yourself, but when you go back, I'll give you money. And he gives them money. And then he tells them, from this money I give you, give tithe. God will bless you. What he learned, he teach. You know, all his anger that he had, what could have, you know, dragged him and kept him, if he did not leave that one, Bernard would have been the same place. But Jesus took that out from him. He gave him peace. Now, here he is, becoming a blessing for all of us. And what a wonderful thing that Bernard, that God has done for him. You know, sometimes in life, we can fail. One man said, I don't know who said this, but he said, failure and success go together. If you failed without succeeding, it is because other people who come after you will succeed. But if you are succeeding without failing, it is because someone before you have failed. And that's what you will become successful. Bernard learned that. And he passed it to his friends and his brothers and sisters. So he is just a blessing, I tell you. And there's another man that I met. His name is Ricky. He's a deaf man. And one time he said he did not like his father. Because they did not have a good relationship. And his father, you know, got saved. He accepted Jesus as his personal savior. And I was so happy. And I told him, I said, Ricky, your father got saved. And he said, what do you mean? I said, he accepted Jesus Christ. He said, where will he be? I said, in heaven. He said, I don't want him in heaven. Reverse that, he told me. Reverse, as if I am the one who's saving the person. He said, revoke his salvation. I can't do that. I say, you see, the same God who's merciful to you is merciful to your father. So take out that anger from you and take out that one. So number one, disregard. Disregard or don't be distracted. Disregard that anything that distracts you from pressing ahead. Paul is advising us. Number two, make God's goal your goal. And that life, whatever that God put us in our path, let us make God's goal our own goal. God's desire, God's goal, the first thing is that people to be saved. That's God's desire. That's all what he wants. You know, Paul himself in Romans chapter 10, this is what he said, Paul. He said, Romans chapter 10 verse 1, he said, brethren, my heart desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. I think brothers and sisters, we need one thing. We need one thing that we have to make sure. In spite of what we do, in spite of what we are here or what we are doing, the very first thing that God's heart is people to be saved. Doesn't matter where they are. I praise God. More than anything that you Americans have done, so many things in my life, I want to say thank you. With all the support that you give us, with the mission work and the ministry and all of that. But more than anything, I want to say thank you for sending missionaries to our places so that I accepted Jesus as my personal savior. So I don't have to go to hell. There's nothing more you can do for me. others, I can do that. I can learn and go to school. My children are showing me. I praise God. I'm not bragging, but God has shown me what God can do. My son lived in Africa, got all 9 A pluses, and been accepted at Georgia Tech to do aerospace engineering. An African. Only God can do that. That's the best thing. But more than any of all that, God saved me because you sent missionaries who brought the gospel to my country. God can use anybody. Whether it's black, whether it's white, whether it's rich, whether it's poor, God cares for people. Do you care? We should care. When we care, we say, God's goal is my goal because he cares for people. Church, that's what we are as a church. To take the gospel to the lost and dying world. It's not what just we know. It's not what, I mean, we can be experts in Bible. It's not just what we know, but it's what we share that changes people. We can know it. We can be expert about it. But if you don't share it, it just die. It's no good. So let's take whatever we know little. I mean, I have a deaf guy. I mean, he's with the Lord. His name is Vincent. Vincent, he didn't know sign language. I mean, even in sign language, he's the poorest signer. I mean, among us, the deaf. Even the deaf, they say, this one, I mean, in their own word, they say, useless. Okay, that's what, they do joke like that. So, and that's what they tell him. And, I mean, Vincent only knows to say, Jesus loves you. That's the only thing he knows. But where he works at the university there, I mean, he cut grasses. That's what all he do. And he meet these professors, and he goes there, and he say, and they don't understand what it is. What is he saying? What? Then they say, come. He bring them to our church. They come to ask what he says. They thought maybe he's asking for money or something like that. When they come, of course, there's a church time, and they sit down, and they hear the gospel, and they get saved right there. Bernard only knew Jesus loves you. That's all he did. What he knew, he used. And God used it for many to be saved. Whatever we know, whatever little that we have, we can share and God can use it. Because it is God's goal. And because I say God's goal, I make it my own. So that people to be saved. Another woman, Dorcas. What a blessing that she is. Pastor has met her. You know, Dorcas, she I taught her since she was grade 2. She loved the Lord. She sing and all of that. And but her father always was suspicious of her. That because she does not come home in a good time. And he think, you know, she's playing with boys or something. So he beats her all the time. And one day when she came, I mean, she was swollen up and cut everywhere. I asked her what happened. She said her father was the one who beat her. I was not happy. And then I said, no, I'm going to go and talk to him. And so I had a bicycle, so I went with my bicycle. I went there and I met him and I said, listen, this is wrong what you have done. You know, you are beating the deaf. Maybe you do not understand each other, but you should not beat her like this. The next time you beat her like this, I said, I will turn you to the police. He looked at me, and I didn't know. After I got out, I heard that he was an inspector of police. I was threatening the police inspector there. And but later, that she did, well, she finished grade 7, so she has to go to a high school. And the only high school there was is at the Catholic school. And Dorcas said, no, I'm a Baptist. I'm not going to the Catholic church. And he talked to her again and again. She says, no way, I'll kill myself before I go there. So he said he could not make her understand. He said, the only person I can ask is the pastor. And I know he has to swallow his pride to call me and says, I know you care for my daughter. Please, this is not church. This is only education. Please help her to understand. I understood that, and I say, okay. I just went there, and I called Dorca, came, and I say, Dorca, it's okay if you go to that school. Oh, okay. She went there and started packing. He has been dealing with her a month, and she refused. And 1 second, she said yes. He looked at me and said, what did you do? I said, I communicated with her. And then when she came back and she said, but I have conditions. Number one, I can pray by myself. I can sing by myself. I will not be forced to go to the church. And if that conditions are fulfilled, I will go. And when I mentioned that, he's a police inspector. He said, that can be done. I will go and talk to the sisters. And he did. And Dorca went there, and she has her own singing in her room. And then slowly she was bringing the deaf, and she started teaching them Sunday school. Within the Catholic Church, she's starting a Baptist church. She led Alec, Brother Alec, to the Lord. And Alec got saved, and Alec came and got trained at my place, and he's pastoring a church, went back to the same place. We have a church, in a Catholic church, a Baptist church, with a congregation, all the deaf will go. You know, what I'm trying to say is, make God's goal your own goal. His goal is people to be saved. Wherever chances that we have, wherever we are, let us use what God gave us. And then, his goal is for us to be faithful. Wherever he put us, let us be faithful. In everything. Because he is very faithful. When I think of about God's faithfulness, I don't have any words to explain. I mean, as a child, I was born in Ethiopia, and my mother died when I was 3 months old. And because my mother died while I was a baby, I was considered that I was the one who killed my mom. And I was supposed to be dead. I was supposed to be killed, but God spared my life. Not only that, during my life, there was that communist government, and they were trying to kill all the Christians and get rid of Christians, and they were arresting everyone. And they were taking children, 12 years old, and all of that to a battleground, to use those children to demine minds. And I was 12 years old. And my mom said, I think that these soldiers are coming tonight. I think they're going to come for you. And I don't know where to keep you. What she did, she took the mattress out and she put me on bed. And she put the mattress on top of me. And she slept on top. She was hiding me. My mom, she is deaf. And so when they came, my mom says she saw my legs were outside. They were very clearly to be seen. But God blinded them that they could not see me. God has been faithful to me. And I have to be faithful to him in everything I can. You know, I'm sure that every one of us, God has been faithful in one way or another, that we know God's faithfulness. Let's not fail him by not being faithful to him. So we just go ahead and just, let's say, God, use me. God can use anybody. God can use the foolish thing. I mean, my mom, I say always that. My mom is deaf. I mean, I'm talking about, in the African sense, you probably don't understand what I meant. I know people with person disability here, they have a lot of right and respected and all of that. Not in Africa. In Africa, they are a source of shame to a family. People are so ashamed. I mean, parents do not want to people to know that they have a disabled child at home. They hide them. That's what they do. So my mom, in our family, she brought a shame. That's how she was considered. But God used the foolishness of things in the world. He used them. You know, he honors them. Because salvation came through my mom to our home. Amen. You know, have you considered, you know, when Jesus fed the 5,000? I mean, when you read there, the Bible says 5,000 men, the woman and the children were not counted. Guess who they used the food from? The one which was not counted, that child who was not counted. His lunch was the one God used to feed all those people. If you think that I'm not useful, I'm nobody, I don't think God can use me, I want to tell you that God uses you more if you humble yourself that way. God can use. God always has been faithful. He never failed to be unfaithful to us. When we think of it, whatever that he gives us, the air he gives us, the sun he gives us, the rain he gives us, he has been faithful. 1 year, no rain in Zambia, we are crying. Just 1 year. How many times that we have not been faithful to him? And how merciful that he is. The third thing that I want to say is praise to the future. Praise to the future for the prize. And I mean, just before I came, I was watching some of the marathon that I wanted to see because I did not see who won. And I saw that the Ethiopian won with breaking a record. I was like very happy. Running, you know, just to that prize. And when he goes there and cut the ribbon and goes in, just people went wild. He went wild also. It is so exciting to see that. So we should run to that. That's what it is. When we get there and here, we come to Jesus and he says, well done. Come, here is your reward. And he gives you. There's no more joy than that. There's no more joy than that. So, brothers and sisters, there is a prize for us. It's prepared. There is no way that we can say, no, God cannot use me. No, I can do all things through Christ. Amen? Yes, I can do all things through Christ. Last story I'm going to tell you and I'll quit. One of my dear brother, Stanley, that was his, you know, his verse. He says, in all things, he says, I can do all things in Christ. He has a great servant education. He hardly can read, but he memorized almost all the Bible. He's like a walking concordance. But Stanley had diabetes, and then being deaf, and then he lost his sight in time. But he already memorized the Bible in sign language. And then just before he died, I went there to visit him. So his family always take him outside and they put him outside. And then when I went one day, I saw him. He was just signing there. Nonstop, he was signing and he was just quoting verse after verse after verse. And I went there and I said, when I touched him, he knew. He said, it was me. He said, oh, pastor, what are you doing? And he said, I'm so happy you came. I said, what are you doing? You were just, you know, signing chapter and verse. And he said, my time is limited. I don't know who is watching. He said, I'm witnessing. Maybe there is someone standing there watch. I don't know. But he said, I don't want to quit. I want just do that until the Lord takes me. Let us be faithful to the Lord. Amen. Wherever he put us. We just continue what we do. So I just have three things that I want to say and I'll finish. As a Christian, are you in this race? If we are a new race, I mean, there are three things that I can think of. I mean, either you never started this race. If you are not saved, you need to start. You need to get saved. To be in this race first, you have to get saved so that you can serve the Lord. So you have to ask Jesus Christ to come in your heart and save you. Accept him as your personal savior. That's the start. Maybe if you haven't started, start now. Maybe you have stopped running. You see, in that race, when it starts, you see people run. In fact, the first ones are those who are quitting. They go faster, and then after a little time, they get tired, and then they move out. They call them pacemakers and all that. They're there. Are you quitting? Have you stopped? Or have you reached? God help us. Wherever God put us, let us be faithful. So Paul said, don't be distracted. Have God's goal, your own goal. Make that. Be faithful to Him and press towards the end. God bless you. We pray.
Isn't that good? Now, Wednesday night was worth it, wasn't it? You've had long days. I want them to be able to ask some questions. We got a few minutes.
Yes, sir.
So they may have some questions about your ministry.
Yes, sir.
And so if they have some questions, let's just do a few.
Okay.
And then I'll dismiss in prayer.
Yes.
All right?
Yes,
good.
All right. I'm ready for questions.
Over on your left.
Yes, sir. Okay. Oh, yes, Gomija, she's my mom. Like I said, my real mom died when I was 3 months old, and Gomija, who's adopted me and raised me, and because of that, sign language is my first language. And I'm sure that you heard about my mom. She is our mentor, our hero, and she loved the Lord, and she went through so many things. For the sake of Jesus, she was tortured. There wasn't anything that they haven't done to her. Being deaf, they thought it was easy just to stop her. But she said she sees them. They scream and all of that. But she said, the peace of God, the joy of the Lord was in her heart, and that beating, and just stripped her naked and put her in cold water and electrocuted her. So that she can stop going to church or worshiping God. And they put her in jail, and we never knew that she would come alive. In fact, I remember my prayer. I said, Lord, I know you took my first mom, but I don't want you to take this one. But my mom, one day I saw my mom coming, walking. We thought, she was dead, because where they put her is called Sudestenia. It was difficult to see that. And so I said, how did you come? She said, I don't know. She said, when I looked, the gates were open. She said, I walked out, and if they called me, I can't hear them. I'm deaf. So she did. And it was God, because otherwise they would have come follow her, but they never did. And yes, that is my mom, Gomija. And God is still using her.
Yeah.
And she never quits. Yeah. She's, yes.
I would guess things have
changed. In Ethiopia? Yes, it has. It has. In fact, the prime minister that we have now is a born-again Christian. And yes, those who were used to persecute the Protestant, that they call us all in one group called Pente, which that's not true. But now it is the Orthodox who are complaining that we have a Protestant prime minister, that he will not letting them have whatever that they want like before. There's a very much freedom of religion now. So yes, it has changed. In fact, no. I never grew up with my father. My father has remarried, and he did come once in a while, but he was an Orthodox. He was just there. But I do love him, and he does. But I have other siblings from that family, but not much with him. So my mom was just like my father and my mom. So she, yeah, She means a lot to me. Yes. Okay. We have 242. Between the two schools. But every time the great servants, they go. I mean, once they are done, the great servant will go and the others are coming in. And there are little ones, in fact. We did not see that much before, but now we do see age, 4 years old, 5 years old are now start coming. Because what we are used was even 21 years old will come to enroll in grade one. That's how it was a trend. But now at least it's coming down. Even we start seeing a four-year-old and five-year-olds are coming. So it is growing. Yes, it is growing. Yes, sir. Yes, it's Coptic Orthodox. The Ethiopian Coptic Orthodox is very old. In fact, they consider themselves, they are the oldest church, and everybody else is a newcomer. They can do well with the Muslims, not with us, because they say they are the two oldest religion there are. And, yeah. Yes, ma'am. Yes, very much. I mean, when it comes to eating, even the knife, if it touches any meat which is for the Muslims, they cannot eat it. They have two butchery where they buy. There's a Christian one, there is a Muslim one. But when they build a church or a mosque, they both contribute each other. But when it comes to us, they gang up together and they do persecute us. Mm-hmm. Yes. Yes.
How long is your president, premier, whatever, how long is he in office?
Okay. I am a missionary in Zambia. So in Zambia it's 5 years. Ethiopia is, I think, 6 years. The prime minister would be. Zambia has a president, an elected president. But in Ethiopia we have a president that's just for formality, just like the British system, like the Queen. We have a president, and then there is a prime minister who is with power. Yeah, that one, I think it's for 5 years. For 5 years. I don't know. Yeah, we pray. Yeah, we pray that he does. We pray he does. Yeah. Yes, sir. How much?
COVID.
What was the impact in Zambia? Yes. Oh, there was a big impact, of course. But in terms of death, it wasn't as much, really. But economically and all the other fact, yes, we were very much affected. But I think probably maybe we have that immune system for it. We always had the flus and all of that stuff. The death was not as big as the Western world was. But schools were closed, work were closed, and still the economy is suffering. Have not still recouping yet. Yeah. Any? Okay.
You heard Brother John talk about the power grid. You know, the city that he lives in, Lusaka, is 3 million.
Yes, about 4.5 now.
4.5 million people. It's not a third world city. I mean, Lusaka is a modern city.
Yes.
But you heard him, and he's not. I was there. Power just goes out, and it's not coming back on. So when the power goes out at his house, the power also goes out at all the grocery stores. So you can't go buy fresh milk at the grocery store because their milk's bad too. But one of the things he said they'll do, they'll turn the power back on, leave the bad milk in there, and you don't know the milk is bad until you've paid for it and got it home. And this is every day. So pray for your missionaries. Yeah. One of the things we're going to do, and I've talked with Brother John about it, we're going to try to cooperate with his other supporting churches, and we're going to try to get around $12,000 to $15,000 raised to get solar power at their house. Mm-hmm. That will leave their refrigerator on. It'll get their well. They have well water. It'll make their well work. But this can't go on. This just can't go on. He talked about their dry season. Their dry season is going to go. It's not going to rain a drop until October. Not a drop. They're not going to have a dew in the morning. It's just not going to rain a drop until October. And it hasn't since end of May?
Yeah, it hasn't. In fact, it hasn't. What happened was the government, the new government came.
You go.
The new government came, the new president. He's a farmer, a businessman. And he said, you know, Zambia has lots of land, so we can farm and we can even export food for other African countries. So everybody got all their money out, the savings and all of that, bought the seed and bought the fertilizers, and they planted, and they spent all what they have. And then it just rained one day or 2 days, and then it dried. So all that investment was just gone. So even if now the rain comes, still they don't have anything to start with. So that is the fear that there is, and that is a big problem. So you pray for Zambia.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. I'm so glad that God brought him our way tonight, brought Leah here. Pray for Brother Johannes. He doesn't have long in the States. He's got a few churches to be in. Pray for Leah. She begins her third year of school, pre-med. Yeah. Yafet's beginning his school, as Brother John said, down at Georgia Tech, studying aerospace engineering.
And Leah is pre-med.
And she's pre-med. And don't let John fool you. They get their intelligence naturally. What was your plan before God called you into ministry?
I wanted to be a pilot.
He was on his way to be a commercial airline pilot. These kids, they're wonderful kids. They've got a great spirit to them. God's given them a great opportunity here in the States. But they come from a wonderful home. And Johannes and Kittist have put the Lord first in their home, and it's paying off in their kids. And thank the Lord for them. And so pray for Johannes. Pray for Leah and Yafet. Pray for Kittist. Their youngest is Beminet, but she goes by Bunny.
Yeah.
Pray for this family. We are privileged to partner with them. Some of God's choicest servants, and God's allowed us to partner with them. And you hear what's going on with the deaf, and now the hearing Ethiopian church that's 2 years old. Let's stand. And John, I'd like you to pray for your church family, and we'll be dismissed. Okay?
Yes. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for the time that we had, for your word. Lord, I thank you for my pastor, for his love, and for my church family. Lord, just for their heart and their undeserved love that they give us. Lord, may you bless each one of them. May you bless this church. May you make this church a light of in this community. Lord, just use us, not only here, but just globally, Lord, that we take the gospel of Jesus Christ without shame. Lord, just help us. Help us to be faithful until you come. Lord, just it is a privilege to serve you. I don't know what you love about us, but thank you for loving us. We love you, Lord. I thank you for this church and continue to bless it. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.